Mrs. White begins her work at the session. Weary from the journey, she retired early, then woke up at 10 p.m. Her mind turned to the subjects that she should present at the meeting. In vision, she was instructed to speak clearly about the Living Temple controversy. The next morning, she did just that. She declared, "I am so sorry that Living Temple came out as it did, and was circulated, and the worst of it, that which struck right to my heart, was the assertion made regarding the book. It contains the very sentiments that Sister White has been teaching. When I heard this, I felt so heartbroken that it seemed as if I could not say anything." She told of how she did not read the Living Temple when it first came out, even though she had it in her library, for it was not her custom to read controversial books. Finally, Willie said to her, "Mother, you ought to read at least some parts of the book, that you may see whether they are in harmony with the light that God has given you." She told of how they sat down together, this was on September 23, 1903, and read together some of the paragraphs that dealt with theology. When they had finished, she turned to her son and said, "These are the very sentiments against which I was bidden to speak in warning at the very beginning of my public work. When I first left the state of Maine, it was to go through Vermont and Massachusetts, to bear a testimony against these sentiments. Living Temple contains the alpha of these theories. The omega would follow in a little while. I tremble for our people." She told her audience that silence was eloquence when it came to discussing God, what He is, and where He is. When you are tempted to speak of what God is, keep silence, because as surely as you begin to speak of this, you will disparage Him. She mentioned the dangers of sending young people to Battle Creek for their education. She told how the dangers to youth were especially acute. They, young people, delighted in the beautiful representations, God in the flower, God in the leaf, God in the tree. But if God be in these things, why not worship them? Then she told about the iceberg vision and how it had changed her mind. She said that previously she had not intended to publish anything relative to the errors in the medical missionary work, but that vision had led her to send out and allow to be published the things that went to the Autumn Council in Washington in 1903. She expressed her sympathy for the physicians associated with Dr. Kellogg and her sympathy for Dr. Kellogg, who had loaded himself down till the enemy found him easy prey. She declared, "Unless he changes his course, and takes an entirely different course, he will be lost to the cause of God. I have lain awake night after night, studying how I could help Dr. Kellogg. I have spent nearly whole nights in prayer for him. Week after week I have not slept till 12 o'clock, and then for weeks I have not been able to sleep past 12 o'clock." She closed her address with a plea for unity. "My brethren, the Lord calls for unity, for oneness. We are to be one in the faith. I want to tell you that when the gospel ministers and the medical missionary workers are not united, there is placed on our churches the worst evil that can be placed there. It is time that we stood upon a united platform. But we cannot unite with Dr. Kellogg until he stands where he can be a safe leader of the flock of God." The Union Conference session moved forward in the usual way, with reports, committee work, and elections. But Ellen White's concentration was on the crisis for the salvation of souls. On Thursday night, the 19th, she was again given a vision. The next day she wrote a message to Elders Daniels and Prescott in which she said that she had been strongly impressed that now is our time to save Dr. Kellogg. She said a determined effort must be made and urged that Dr. Kellogg be called to the meeting. In this letter she wrote, "Not one of us is above temptation. There is a work that Dr. Kellogg is educated to perform as no other man in our ranks can perform. We are to draw with all our power, not making accusations, not prescribing what he must do, but letting him see that we are not willing that any should perish." She asked, "Is it not worth the trial?" She said that Satan was drawing the doctor. In her vision she had seen someone slipping down a precipice, a company was looking on indifferently, making no effort to save him. But one hand, the hand of Christ, was stretched out and the man was rescued. Then she heard Christ speaking, telling the ones who were watching that they must look to him and not to this man, Kellogg, that they should take heed to themselves. She heard Christ appealing to Dr. Kellogg to put on Christ. She heard Kellogg exclaim, "I am sinful, but he hath covered me with his own righteousness, and henceforth I will go in the strength of the Lord God." Then confessions by others followed. She saw Christ take the hand of W.K. Kellogg and the hand of the doctor and appeal to them and then to elders Daniels and Prescott. "Unify," the divine visitor implored. "Your unbelief and lack of unity have been a standing reproach to the people of God. Press together, and heed every word of God that will create oneness. Avoid all fault-finding and dissension. Perplexing matters will adjust themselves if each one will walk circumspectly." The letter was written on Friday, May 20, copied by Maggie Hare the same day, and on the same day copies were given to elders Daniels and Prescott, as well as to David Paulson and Edson White. Dr. Kellogg was urged to come to Berrien Springs. He arrived on Sabbath, May 21.